Ever notice when things are a little crooked? Ever talk about a crooked cop, a crooked politician? When things are a little askew? Let's talk about crookedness this morning and just how bent out of shape are we? Bear's thinking about right now on the corner of truth and life. Welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and this week on our podcast, we're looking at the concept of crookedness and the idea of things being a little off. And that is just such a term we're so used to, you know, as I already mentioned, a crooked politician. You know, they're crooked. A crooked cop. You know, they're on the take. A storekeeper, a crooked businessman, and all these things, we mean that they are dishonest, that they're cheating, doing something wrong. We also use the term, at least my mom used to, talking about somebody who gets upset, they're bent out of shape. They're all bent out of shape over this. And so, which again, if you're bent out of shape, you're crooked. We have a fork in our house that got hit by a lawnmower, I guess. I think that's what happened with it. It looks, I don't know how else to explain what is wrong with it other than a lawnmower got hold of it. I don't know why we still have it other than my kids like to play with it. One of my sons likes to, calls it his favorite fork. Why, I'll never know. Other than it's just different. But it's wicked crooked, and because it's crooked, it doesn't work particularly well. But I guess it's something fun for a kid to play with. But we're just so used to this idea of being crooked, of being bent out of shape as a bad thing. And then, of course, when someone is honest, we say they are straight as an arrow. They are upright. They're dealing with you straight on. Honest talk is straight talk. You know, so we have that idea of straight or towing the line. That's good. And then crooked is dishonest and bad. And, makes sense as far as if you were building something like a house or something, you wouldn't want it to be crooked and out of plumb and untrue. And in fact, we use the word true for plumb sometimes. For something to be in alignment, it's true. Again, just playing this whole idea, this concept that we have. And that concept is not unique to our Western American European culture. That's actually it's dates way back through the centuries and the eons of human existence, this idea of something being crooked as opposed to being honest and true and right. And so the thing to think about, of course, is, well, how crooked are we? Because one of the things that it's, if you ever look at those optical illusions, so oftentimes they'll take two different lines, or if you look at those weird rooms where it looks like it's just a regular room, but if you stand in one corner, you look like a midget, and you stand in the other corner, you look like a giant, and it's all because the lines are crooked, but your eyes think they're straight. And because of that, it throws off your whole perspective. And there's a ton of optical illusions where your brain misinterprets lines because it tries to think that they're straight. And you can do all kinds of funny things to trick your eyes with lines that aren't actually straight. And especially if you have a straight line and a crooked line and you don't know which one's the straight line. Sometimes a straight line can look like the one that's crooked because the crooked line looks like the one that's straight. And I've had that problem in old houses where, you know, the ceiling curves, but it looks like the door or the window is the one that's out of whack because you assume the ceiling line is straight and actually the ceiling line isn't. So it's just, you know, and there's, boy, we could unpack that sucker all day as far as then what are the implications for, especially the idea of thinking something is straight when really it's the crooked thing, and a crooked thing can look a straight thing look wrong. Oh boy, tons we could do with that. But we won't go there, at least not yet. Instead, one of the things that we want to talk about today is the fact that in the Bible, it talks about things being crooked. There's a very specific word in the Bible, and it's in Hebrew. It's called avon, and it looks like Avon, but it's avon, and it means to be crooked. It means to be bent. And when it's translated into English in our Bibles, it's translated oftentimes the word iniquity, or just straight out sin. And it means to be bent, to be crooked. And the idea being that we as a human race, we as people, are bent and crooked. Now, we don't like to think of ourselves that way. We like to think of ourselves as obviously not perfect, obviously with some flaws, but overall, basically good people. And we know we have our bad moments, and we know that we can be wrong, but we see most of the time we want to think that those moments, those bad moments, are the exception, not the rule, because we are able to conduct ourselves as fairly good people. But getting back to just a few minutes ago, the idea of sometimes the crooked thing looks straight and it makes the straight thing look crooked, that is very much part of our world. One of the reasons that we tend to think of ourselves as pretty good is because we compare ourselves to people that we think are far more crooked and may actually be far more crooked. And we're like, compared to you, I'm pretty straight. Compared to you, I'm good. And you may be comparatively good, but that doesn't mean you're not bent. Doesn't mean you're not crooked. So here's a story. And this sort of thing plays out in my life pretty regularly. And my guess is that there's probably a similar, you know, maybe the details are different, that plays out in you. I like food. And when I buy a bag of chips, I'm excited about that. I like, you know, for comfort food, a bag of chips and a can of cheese dip, I'm a happy man. And it never fails. If I open a bag of chips near my children, they line right up. Dad, can I have a chip? The chips might be on top of the fridge, and nobody's thinking about chips. And if I reach for that bag and bring my bag down, they're all like, Dad, can I have a chip? Like, you didn't want one a minute ago. But now that I'm suddenly having chips, they're like, oh, Dad, can I have a chip? And it bugs me. Because I don't want to share my chips. Because if they want one, they're going to come back and want another one. And of course, I got more than one kid. So if one give one kid a chip, then I got to give them all a chip. And so I just usually say no right off the bat. In fact, just today, today I my daughter said, hey, Dad, can I have a chip? I went, no. And I said it kind of cheerful. Nope. And my daughter says, wow, you said no without a glare today. thank you. Made me feel bad. I didn't give her a chip. Well, what's my problem? It's just a chip. I mean, it's a whole bag of chips. Well, because I don't want to give them. They're mine. Now, it's such a small thing, and I can rationalize very easily. My kids don't need the chips. Of course, neither do I, but that's not the point. They're my chips. I bought them with my money that I earned, and they don't need the chips. And so it's easy for me to say that that is not crooked behavior, because I am entitled to those chips. And that is true. I am definitely entitled to them as much as anybody. I bought them. But that's not why I say no. I claim my entitlement as a justification for my no. But the reason I say no, if I'm honest with myself, is because I just don't want to share them. They're mine. They're mine. I'm selfish. It's about me. They're my chips. and I use the fact that I'm entitled to them as an excuse not to have to do what I don't want to do anyway, which is share. Now, that's a pretty small thing. Now, I'm actually a fairly giving person, I think. I try to be generous. I like to help people out. I like to give. I love to be able to donate my time, donate my effort and work to friends, to support people, and I've dedicated my life to serving through the church and through camp. I have sacrificed a lot. And so it would be easy for me to look at myself and say, you know what, overall, Ira, you're pretty upright guy. You're not really very crooked. But I would ignore the fact that, no, actually, there's a lot of times I'm not generous. There's a lot of times that I am pretty crooked. And it shows up on a day-to-day basis when I hate to share. When I feel like I've given enough, I don't want to give anymore. I'm tired. Leave me alone. And suddenly my crookedness reveals itself. And it does that almost on a daily basis at one time or another. Maybe it's with my wife, with my kids. In fact, my wife and my kids are the most likely recipients of my crooked behavior because they're with me the most. Being nice to somebody who only enters my life part of the time is easier because then I can quit. I can be done. They go home, don't see him for a day or two, and I get my downtime, my me time. And my crookedness really shows up when my me time starts getting threatened. You know, oh, this has happened a million times, especially over the summer being at camp, but even this fall. Not that we're in fall yet, but post-camp, August. I'll get my food, which I like, and get the Netflix show up and roaring, get my earphones on, kicking back, gonna spend the next 40 minutes feasting and Netflix and chill, you know? And then a camp staff member or a wife or a child waves to get my attention. What do you need? Pause. Put down the food. Take off the headset. Can I help you? And sometimes it's, I just want to tell you this. That could have waited. Unpause. Headphones back on. Take a bite. Tap on the shoulder. Pause. Put down the chip. Off with the headphones. Can I help you? Yeah. Stupid question that could wait. And there's my crookedness right there. Oh my goodness, I'm so frustrated at that point. Oftentimes I give a look, a big sigh. You are troubling me. And that's the truth. We are a crooked bunch. When the Bible says that we are crooked, that we're bent, it's far truer than we'd like to admit. And I'm betting that if you really took an honest look at your less than stellar moments, and if you stripped away the rationales and the good reasons, you might find that you're actually way more crooked than you're comfortable admitting too. And that's why we need Jesus. Because Jesus comes and he takes away our crookedness. He doesn't make us stop being crooked. He just takes away the impetus as far as saying, you know, now I'm going to live for him. And I'll tell you, I've lived for Jesus. I'm still crooked. Think about your crookedness today and whether you might need Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. for a service of music, celebration, and teaching. To listen to this show, other shows, messages, get announcements and updates, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or visit our Facebook page. Thank you for listening. We remind you to seek truth. This has been Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.